August is Make a Will Month, and if TPR has made a difference in your life, consider making it part of your legacy. Visit tpr.org/legacy to learn how easy it can be to include Texas Public Radio in your estate plans.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. School districts across Texas now have the option to offer American Indian Native Studies as an elective. The approval came from the State Board of Education in June. Around the same time, the state passed a ban on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. The basis for the course was piloted in 2021 at Grand Prairie Independent School District. According to the Texas Education Agency, students who take the new course will learn about the history and living cultures of American Indians and understand issues and events from Native perspectives. As with most ethnic studies programs approved by the State Board of Education, it was a years-long process to gain approval as a so-called innovative course. These are courses that could expire if they're not renewed or converted to become part of the state's learning standards, known as the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, or TEKS. On today's program, we're talking to three people essential in getting American Indian Native Studies in Texas classrooms. Marisa Perez Diaz represents parts of South Texas in District 3 of the State Board of Education. Orlando Lara is co-founder of the Ethnic Studies Network of Texas. And Hawana Townsley is a Comanche Native elder and descendant of Quanah Parker, the last chief of the Quahada Comanche, and son of Cynthia Ann Parker, a white woman taken captive as a child during a raid and raised as a Comanche. Townsley says she was involved in the evolution of the course from its start in Grand Prairie ISD to the meetings that led to its approval by the state.
I had two sons in Richardson ISD, and whenever something would come up and I would say, hey, what, this is coming up in your history class or social studies class or whatever, and I was like, what are they talking about? And they're like, oh, Mom, it was like two sentences, maybe a paragraph, and then we were done. And I was like, oh, really? That's all they're talking about. So I started investigating. And then when the invitation came to the community, I was like, well, I'll go show up to this and see if I can have any input. And I've been showing up ever since. When I was little, we had an introduction to Oklahoma history in fourth grade. So that was a very fortunate thing for me to have a teacher that was a member of the Choctaw tribe. And she told me, the book is going to say this, but if you heard something from your family that's different, it is perfectly fine with me if you say the book says and list that, so I know you've read the book. And then you can say, but my grandmother said, and you can tell her side of it. And she said, I will take that as an answer and not count off on you. But for grading purposes, I have to have that content that was in the textbook. So that was a real, I mean, that's fourth grade. I learned that lesson from this very wise teacher.
Well, Orlando Lara, you are the co-founder of the Ethnic Studies Network of Texas. So you are a sort of actively promoting the usage of ethnic studies in schools, and there has been success here in Texas in the past. Can you tell us about your advocacy for the Native Studies courses in Texas?
The fight for ethnic studies, or the call for ethnic studies in Texas, has a long, long history. Actually, one of our members researched this, but she actually found that in the 1970s, SBOE actually approved ethnic studies courses temporarily, but didn't promote them. And I think by the early 80s, removed them. And Native American Studies course was one of those. So there's this long kind of unwritten history that we're sort of starting to write now. And so when, and Board Member Diaz can speak to this, when Mexican-American studies, after a very long and tiring struggle, when that was finally approved as a TEKS-based course, the board also changed one of their rules in the innovative course process where they named three additional ethnic studies courses and signaled to the community, if anyone creates these, we want TEA to bring them to us so we can consider them for the TEKS. And so this was in 2018. And so I think by the next year, we had our first sort of regional conference in North Texas in Fort Worth and invited local social studies leaders and had a conversation about all four courses. And at that point, African American studies had already started to be developed. Asian American studies was still a dream. We didn't know anyone that was working on it. But at that meeting, there was a right sort of assemblage of people. And that's when they sort of had initial conversations and made some initial plans to have a follow-up community meeting. And as you know, Norma, whenever you do these community sort of gatherings, a ton of ideas come out of those and very few of them actually become anything. But thankfully, this one, a year later, just before COVID hit, I think February 2020, Grand Prairie SD, together with Scott Langston at TCU and Peggy Larney, they put together this community conversation. And that is where I got to meet Juana, and that's where Juana got plugged in. And so since this, we've just been working on it, I can go on and on about it.
Well, I'd like to ask Marisa Perez-Diaz, who's on the School Board of Education here in Texas. You have been a part of this sort of ethnic studies struggle for the last several years. You've been on the board now for some time now. And I'm wondering if you have seen it maybe getting any easier to get ethnic studies passed, because again, like Orlando was saying, we have Mexican American studies now in the schools, African American studies, now we have Native American studies. Do you find that maybe this conversation is just getting maybe sort of easier down the road?
I've been serving on the Texas Board of Education since January of 2013. And from the very start of my tenure on the board, inclusivity and representation in public school curriculum has been a key priority for me, having been raised in the public school system, and realizing that when we first went through the Mexican American Studies review and adoption process beginning in 2013, I learned very hard lessons about my own family history, my own ethnic history. As an adult in my 30s, it was so heartbreaking to not have been provided the opportunity and the access to that sort of knowledge, right? Because I think, I mean, there's tons of research, and Orlando can speak to this, in that the more that we provide resonant curriculums where our students can see themselves in the language and in the experiences, there's a connection there and there's a deeper commitment to their education, and we'll see more successes. And so to address the question that you pose, I will say, since my tenure started on this board, up until probably 2021, it was getting so much easier. You know, the Mexican American Studies course, it took us about 5 years to get that course approved as a Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills-based course, so a standards-based course for high school credit, but only as an elective, right? People can elect out, elect in, right? You can choose to take that course. And it took us 5 years to do that in a state where over 54% of the population identifies as Latino, majority of which are Mexican American. That was a hard felt battle, and it shouldn't have been, right? Because it's what's right for kids. It's not an either or in those scenarios. It's a yes and. We should be teaching these histories, right? Because Texas was Mexico. And there's so much entrenched history. There's a weaving of cultures. And the beauty of a course like this is to draw those bridges. And as I mentioned, after 5 years, we got to a point where we had majority support on the board for this Mexican American Studies course to come through. Subsequently, we had 9 months later, African American Studies come through. We learned a lot of lessons through Mexican American Studies, everything from what needs to go into the curriculum to how do we advocate in a way that doesn't turn people off? How do we become effective in ensuring that we're leading with research, with, you know, the impact on student learning, the impact on education, and the impact on educators? Because of all of that thoughtful, strategic approach, we saw the success of African American studies in a very different way. And that course couldn't have come on at a more pertinent time. We passed that course in April of 2021, and unfortunately in May of 2021, we saw the upheaval with what happened with George Floyd. And so my years...
It is 2020.
2020, thank you. I'm sorry, my years are off. But yes, so in 2020 when all this happened. And so we were on really, really great footing. We were on good trajectory. And so on the pipeline was this American Indian Native Studies course and a good number of advocates and educators, practitioners who'd gathered together and were already putting together this really fruitful, really in-depth course for students. At the same time, you had movement on the Asian American Studies course as well. And unfortunately, with the election cycle that happened right after that, we saw the introduction of five new board members who were very far-leaning in their conservatism. And their approach to this course was very much of criticism and a thought of anti-patriotism. And it's really unfortunate that that was sort of the narrative, and not based in anything except for the national narrative happening, right, that was being sort of fueled at the national level by influencers, people with, you know, with big voices and large platforms. And so while that is happening, the governor of Texas decides that he's going to appoint one of these newer members as the chairman of the board. So this colleague of mine had only been serving 9 months on the board and then was appointed to the chairmanship of the State Board of Education. The chairman of the board has the authority to decide on what goes on the agenda. And so for the last, gosh, year and a half, that course, that American Indian Native Studies course, has been pushed and pushed. And we've just been kicking the can down the road because they don't want to see it on the agenda. We had a lot of advocates, a lot, again, of practitioners, educators, students who benefit from this course that came and spoke on behalf of wanting to see this course come through for the last year and a half that we finally got it through. And even then, Norma, we're not even at a point where we have a TEKS-based course. This last run was actually just to maintain the status of its innovative nature so that school districts can actually even offer it as an innovative course for no credit. Right, for no high school credit. And so we've got a lot of work ahead of us, but we did recently make some good steps forward.
Marisa Perez-Diaz is a member of the Texas State Board of Education. We're talking about the state board's recent approval of American Indian Native Studies. Also joining us are Orlando Lara, co-founder of the Ethnic Studies Network of Texas, and with Native activist Hawana Townsley. When we come back, Native Studies in Texas will teach that American Indians are still here and always were.
Our contributions have been invisible, and to bring them forward and to teach people that we're still here, we're still doing what we do, and we're innovating.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
Support for this podcast of Fronteras comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. By investing in local communities and rewarding policyholders for prioritizing safety, they are building a more resilient Texas. More at texasmutual.com/texansgetit. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Champions of Ethnic Studies in Texas have been walking on eggshells in the last few years. The state of Texas has banned DEI, or Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, efforts in public schools with SB 12 and in colleges with SB 17. The teaching of CRT, or critical race theory, is also banned in public schools, although CRT is actually a college-level academic theoretical tool used to explain racial inequity and is not taught in K through 12. But ethnic studies courses that have been approved by the Republican-majority State Board of Education are still being taught, including Mexican-American studies and African-American studies. Critics have called these courses, including the recently approved American Indian Native Studies program, woke and anti-American. American Indian Native Studies, however, manages to sidestep the DEI and CRT targets. A recent letter from the Department of Education said, quote, American Indian, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian history is not classified as diversity, equity, and inclusion or critical race theory, and the department will not treat Native history as DEI or CRT, end quote. Why? Because tribal identity is not the same as an ethnic group. We're talking today about American Indian Native American Studies with Marisa Perez Diaz, member of the Texas State Board of Education, with Native activist Hawana Townsley, who helped design the curriculum, and Orlando Lara, co-founder of the Ethnic Studies Network of Texas. Lara says laws like SB 12 reflect what he calls a censorship regime, and he's relieved that American Indian Native Studies has dodged that bullet.
Now, SB 12... it was signed by the governor the Monday before the June SBOE meeting. The course isn't impacted by SB 12 for a few reasons. One, SB 12 doesn't mention tribal identity as a category that districts can't talk about in trainings or curriculum. And two, SB 12 has a carve out for TEKS-based courses, which this is not a TEKS-based course yet, so it created a little bit of ambiguity, but it has another carve-out for any programs that are designed to address student achievement gaps. And that is what protects a course in ethnic studies, because ethnic studies, there's been years, really more than almost a decade of studies that show that ethnic studies helps improve student attendance, student grades, and even student performance on standardized tests, right? So bottom line is an executive order cannot erase decades of anti-discrimination law. And I think that is what board members, I hope, will start to realize as we move forward with ethnic studies in Texas.
May I add a little bit, Norma? So while SB 12, Orlando's correct in that the bill doesn't necessarily directly impact the course as it stands. What will happen is as we start looking at the redesign of our social studies standards, SB 12 will be a high focus on language utilized, on content that's being integrated in this course. And so that may shift what is being taught in the course. In addition to that, once it does acquire that TEKS-based status, which is ultimately the goal of trying to push these courses forward, the idea is you establish standards and then instructional materials can be created to support those standards. So you provide resources for the educators in the classroom that are teaching those courses. We also have a litany of gatekeepers, if you will, with regard to instructional materials. So what happens with those instructional materials now is that the Texas Education Agency, through the commissioner's office, will vet instructional materials before they ever come to the State Board of Education for us to vet through individuals who we identify as subject matter experts or practitioners in the field that will review these materials for approval and use in the classroom. All of that is going to be heavily influenced by how the Texas Education Agency interprets to the State Board of Education and how the State Board of Education interprets that into policy decisions around adoption of content within our instructional materials. So we don't see the negative effects just yet, and perhaps I'm being a bit cynical, but I've been in this rodeo for quite some time. I am very cognizant of the fact that's kind of lying in the wake for us, and there's going to have to be a lot of work to help combat those narratives as they come through because, again, to Orlando's point, we saw an effort to figure out how to dismiss courses like these and perhaps backtrack on the courses that have been approved, especially in this last State Board of Education meeting when you had a representative from the Attorney General's office to come and present. And, you know, it was very unclear. There was no answer around the questions. And so the vagueness in that is just, I think people don't know what this means for us. And there are particular individuals who know what they want it to mean for public education, and they're trying to figure out how to make that happen.
I think what a lot of people maybe listening to this conversation are getting, as am I, is that how incredibly complicated, and there's just so many precise, minute details that go into creating a course like this. It's not just somebody saying, I've got a great idea, let's teach a Mexican-American studies course or a Native American. There are so many fine details that go around trying to accomplish this. So, but now that we're talking about the course, Hawana, you have seen how it has been implemented as a pilot in Grand Prairie. And I'm wondering if you know if students who are seeing this course perhaps available in their schools for the first time this semester in the fall, what are they going to be learning? What's on the course curriculum that you can tell us?
Some things that will give them specific examples, and other things, when we were writing it, we left it open-ended because as we were looking at this, and I don't know if you know this, but Texas has the fifth largest population of Native Americans in the country. So you got Oklahoma, Arizona, California, New Mexico, and then Texas. The things that we have covered in the curriculum are all of these ranges of maybe it might be economics or culture and art, science. So we're illustrating within the course that, yes, most of the stuff that you've heard about us is in the past, but this course shows you we are current and we are doing things now that are honoring our past and looking towards the future to hold that value that we are contributing members of society. We have been contributing members of society, and that is not to put anyone else down, but we know that for the most part, our contributions have been invisible, and to bring them forward and to teach people that we are still here, we're still doing what we do, and we're innovating. So that is basically in a nutshell the course. And if a student wants to bring their culture and their background, maybe they go home and they talk to mom or dad and they go, oh, hey, we're studying this. And they go, oh, well, you're, and they can talk about their grandparents or their great grandparents or some relation that they have. And they can have that actually as content they can give to the course, and they can teach their teacher about their own culture. So that was why we wrote it the way we did, is we left it open so that the students are not constricted to, oh, well, we have to be talking about only tribes that were in Texas. No, we're talking about now you're in Texas, you're sitting there in that classroom, please bring your experiences and your family's experiences to the course. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff that we have is you can't find it in a book. You have to talk to a person, or you have to go straight to the nation and go look at their resources. And I know about my own family, there's pictures and they'll say, oh, this is, and they'll have my ancestor as like, no, that is not who's in that picture. That is a cousin or whatever that looked kind of like him. Or, oh, no, that's not my great-great-grandmother. That is some random picture that you just decided to plop in there and it's not right. So teaching the teachers to find resources is one of the things that we've been doing in the teacher trainings. And then also looking at the revisions that we have done to the course so that we've got the wording so that people don't find those buzzwords in it. We've revised this course more times than was absolutely necessary because as the laws were coming along and things were changing, we went, well, let's see if we can phrase that in a way that's not going to upset someone. And we revised again and and it was painful. We cut stuff that we wanted to have in there. We could have a completely second year course with the stuff that we cut. And then we were, okay, let's look at this from the viewpoint that we want to ignite that spark of interest so that maybe these students that are in the class will find an interest, and this will become a lifelong journey that they are taking to learn more and more about us now and historically and all of the different things that we've put out there in the course.
Is there anything, like, if you could wave a magic wand and you could have your say on what you would like Texas students to learn, what would it be? You know, no bars at all.
That's really a hard question. Like I said, we have value, and our culture was not this tiny little bit that you see in the movies. But don't believe the Hollywood that you have seen. You have got to go to your local tribes. Go visit a powwow. Go and find artists that are creating jewelry or artwork, and go look at that. But one of the things that people always tell me when they find out about my family, go, oh, that's so fascinating. I would love to learn more. But then on the other hand, we can't dig deep into the realities of the clash between the U.S. government, the Spanish government, the French government, all of the different governments and the religions that came and started trying to change all of the things that were here. And we are all related is a big concept that the Native nations had. And it wasn't that we taught that. It's just that's how we lived. I've got a story that my mother told about her grandmother was making a bowl for her, and she was cutting this knot off of a tree. As her grandmother was doing this process, she also was patching the tree back up so it would heal. And she was talking to the Great Spirit as she was doing it. She was saying, you know, thank you for putting this here so that I can get this item, so I can make a bowl, so I can make sweet treats for my granddaughter. And she's speaking in Comanche. And the missionary walks by and he goes, oh, what a heathen thing to do. And my mother, being a child, she always had a connotation until she got much older that heathen was a very good thing to be. And so it wasn't until she was like in school or something that she realized that, oh, that's what he was calling my grandmother. So the perceptions of our culture are just totally skewed. And that's what we're trying to do with this course, is to basically center them more so that people understand the reality of what we had and what we have now.
Norma, if I can add, as I'm listening to Hoana speak, I think, number one, I think of the Mayan saying in Lakesh, right? You are my other me. It's such a beautiful, it's so simple, but it's such a beautiful phrase. And that's what I think Hoana is getting at, right? If we understood better and we could teach better the interwoven existence of people, can you imagine how much kinder we would be to each other, how much more knowledgeable we would be? And as I think about it, you know, again, assigning TEKS to this course is so important, because if we could replace your regular social studies, right, and by assigning these TEKS to this course and using this course as a substitute for social studies high school credit, right, then you could perhaps extend that course into several years, right? Now, we've got so much work on this front end to even get that across, that this is like sort of long, it's the long game, right? But in a perfect world, why would we have to taper down this course, right? Because within any ethnic studies courses, you have seven different strands that are consistent, right? You have everything from social sciences to culture to history to government, all of that. Like, especially with a course like AIMS, right, where we're talking with the first people of this land, they've experienced every single phase of what we know in history, right, as a country. And so if we see it through the eyes of the Native experience, then we're getting full U.S. history, and it's not skewed. I think we have to be okay with that. And that means exploring some of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that, I think, is what a bill like Senate Bill 12 is attempting to refrain from doing. But I think if we took the approach of it's okay to see history through the eyes of other people, in particular the first people of this nation, then we would get a really well-rounded view of what that looks like, because I can see the beauty in the inner, again, the interwoven nature of how we exist. And we have to learn from the bad things that have happened in this country so that we don't repeat them over and over again. The other thing I will say is I'm also processing the fact that right now, as we're looking at, we're about to open up the social studies review process, there is an exerted effort to remove anything around world cultures and world geography and just global perspectives, which is also very frightening for me, because sort of the path that it looks like we're going down from some individuals, right, that they're pushing, is this very Western civilization focus in how we teach K-12 social studies. And that is not going to be positive for us. We have to understand global economics. We have to understand how we work at a global level so that we can be competitive and we can remain a competitive force in our world. And you're seeing all of that being threatened right now. Can you imagine how much we would learn in economics through the perspective of Native people? So anyway, I was processing all of that as Hawana was speaking about what this course means, right, for students and for educators.
I'm wondering if maybe, Orlando, you have any final words before we wrap things up today.
I think definitely I just want to speak to any school leaders or community leaders that are listening and wondering, is it okay to teach this course? Am I, you know, because that's precisely, I think, the environment that is being created here. If we can't like outlaw it, we want to at least scare the pants off of you so you just don't even get near this course like this at all. You know, and that overcorrection, that impulse to overcorrect is very dangerous.
And self-protect as well.
And self-protect. And I just want to encourage courage. You know, we need to meet this moment. I've learned so much through this process, but one of the Native teaching is that we should think seven generations in the future, seven generations in the past. Part of what that means to me is getting out of the particular historical moment, the particular politics we're in, where suddenly people are wondering, is it legal to teach Native studies? Whenever we tell people, yeah, it's legal to teach it, they always say, why was it ever a question, right?
So, yeah. Hawana is in the background just waving her hands. Exactly. Why?
That's what everyone's like. It's just so absurd. And just follow that feeling. Rise above the limitations of the current moment. Think in terms of generations. What would you wish you would have done 7 years from now? Teach this course or hide, right? Or continue to the generations of erasure that we've already been through.
I completely agree with what both Hawana and what Orlando just contributed. The last thing I'll say is specifically to the advocates, the practitioners, the historians who worked on this course and have been on the roller coaster of emotions that we've all been on as we've seen what's happened over the last year and a half. Thank you for the grace that you've extended to the board and the ability to be so flexible to just try to get something across to do what's right by kids. Those are the kind of people we need in the education space, the people who center the children, the people who center strong, important learning, and that don't put egos in front of anything else. And you know, the risk of getting emotional, like it's been quite beautiful to see the patience that's been extended to this body over the last several years, because I was in my head cursing out so much of what we experienced and could not imagine the emotion and the feelings that the people who poured their hearts and souls into seeing this course come to fruition were feeling at those moments when I was feeling that. So I just want to shout from the rooftops what amazing individuals we have in Texas. I know that sometimes many times the politics is the loud overarching narrative you hear, but there are so many more good people in this state that want what's right for education and want what's right for our country. And the people that were behind this course were exactly that and so much more. So just thank you.
Marisa Perez Diaz is a member of the Texas Board of Education. We also spoke with Orlando Lara, co-founder of the Ethnic Studies Network of Texas, and with Native activist Hawana Townsley, who helped craft the curriculum of the recently approved American Indian Native Studies course. She's a descendant of 19th century Comanche leader Quanah Parker. All Texas school districts have the choice to adopt American Indian Native Studies as a social studies elective, and it counts as a graduation credit. It will be considered for TEKS-based adoption as early as September to become a permanent social studies elective. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Maria Navarro. Our executive producer and editor is Dan Katz. Chiranga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.